You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
My name is Chelsea Wooding. I am a teacher in training here at Real Church, and I have the joy and privilege of getting to teach through the authority given to me by Pastor Nathan, through the authority given to him by God as our lead pastor at Real Church. And we are in our Advent series. And this year, our Advent series is called Presence, which I think is such a beautiful way to talk about Jesus and to talk about this season. Pastor Nathan introduced this series last week, talking about the fact that Mary and Joseph were called to name their son Emmanuel, which literally means God with us, or God is present with us. He's always been present, always will be present, always has been present. And in this Advent season, we are celebrating and honoring and praising God for his presence. Last week, Pastor Nathan also challenged us to think about somebody who gives us their presence. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of my best friend from high school, Andrea. She has always been, I've known her for literally decades now, which is crazy to say, but she's always been a very unique and very special friend. She's someone who over the years has been with me when I was terrible. She's supported and encouraged me. She's also very much challenged me in the best possible ways. She has really difficult conversations with me, but she also laughs with me. She cries with me. She sits with me. She's just that steady friend. And she always has a lot going on. She's a full-time teacher. She used to teach middle school special ed. She now teaches special ed for K through second grade. So she's got a busy job. She has a wonderful spouse. She has three amazing kids. So she balances a lot of things. And in pre-COVID times, one of the times I was able to go out to Southern California and be with her and her amazing family, she and I got to go to lunch. And I remember sitting down to lunch and her taking out her phone, which is not an abnormal thing anymore. But rather than being on her phone, she actually turned her phone on vibrate. She didn't turn it fully off because, like I said, she's a parent and she needs to be able to know if there's an emergency. But she turned it on silent and she put it away. She didn't put it face down on the table. She didn't keep it on the table, but like kind of over to the side. She put it away in her purse where she couldn't see it. The only way it would really get her attention was if there was an emergency and somebody had called multiple times. And that, what seems like such a small thing, showed me that she was fully present. She was willing to give me 100% of what she had in that moment to show me that she cared and to show me that in that time, when we were at lunch, when we were sharing this meal, I was her priority. And that was so overwhelming. It was such a gift that my friend was willing to set everything else aside to just be with me. Presence really is a gift. Presence is a present. It's a gift that we don't get or give very often anymore. Unfortunately, we have a million distractions all around us, and there have always been distractions. Please don't get me wrong. But now we have a distraction that not only does culture tell us we must be constantly available, but we also must respond immediately. So not only should people have access to me 24/7, but as soon as they access me, I must then engage. And that is constantly on us. That is constantly with us. That takes us out of any present moment that we're in. Trying to multitask by definition, and many of you know how I feel about multitasking, but by definition, multitasking is splitting your attention and not giving 100% of what you have to what you're doing. And yet, God's presence, the creator of everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings, his presence has been and is and will be, and he chooses to be perfectly present with us constantly. And that's what we get to celebrate this Advent season. And we also get to ask ourselves and check in and reflect, how are we responding to God's perfect presence? Join me in prayer, church, before we jump in. Oh, King, thank you for this time. And a year that has been full of unknowns and uncertainties and surprising twists and turns and unexpected everything. Thank you that you have been our constant. May the words that Holly and Matt just let us in be true. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. May you flood these places with your Spirit. It is our heart's desire to know you more and to grow closer to you. May you use this time for your kingdom, for your glory, that we might be drawn closer to you. Holy Spirit, reign and guide us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we get to talk about the past. I kind of feel like I'm the ghost of Christmas past kind of thing as we're going through this series. But today, we get to talk about the past. We get to talk about Jesus' past, and we get to talk about Jesus' role in our past. Now, I do want to add a quick kind of asterisk to all of this. I think, unfortunately, when we talk about the past, we think about decades ago, right? Or years ago. We think about the past as this far removed, far remote thing. But without getting into a whole time space continuum conversation, the past is literally anything that is no longer happening now. So us singing worship this morning is now the past. You waking up this morning is now the past. A certain amount of time does not have to go by for it to become the past. So please understand, when I'm talking about your past, I am talking about decades ago. I'm talking about years ago. I'm talking about months ago. I'm talking about weeks ago, days ago, moments ago, hours ago. All of that is included in our past. So anything that is no longer now, we're talking about. So again, yes, this might apply to you years ago, but it also applies to you minutes ago. So I'm going to take follow Pastor Nathan's example from last week. And though we are in our Advent series, our Christmas series, I'm not going to jump into one of those verses that is traditional Christmas story. We're going to be in John 1:1-2 and verse 14 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to join me there. John 1:1-2 and verse 14. John opens his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Fast forward to verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. What's so amazing is that Jesus has always been. That's what John opens his gospel with. That's the truth that John lays as the foundation of his entire book that he is writing. Jesus has always been, just as God has always been. They existed before time and the past were even a thing. Let that just give you a headache for a minute. God and Jesus existed. That's it. Before time, before the past. And in the past, in this Christmas season, we celebrate Jesus' past when he came to earth. During the Christmas season, we celebrate that element of Jesus' past, his birth, at which then allowed his sacrifice, right? And not only that, but the sacrifice he made by even coming down to earth, by becoming man, by laying aside part of his Godhead and who he was to come be with us on earth and to save us. It teaches us about who Jesus is. It teaches about what he's done for us. So studying Jesus' past is incredibly important. It's also important to remember Jesus' role in our past, where Jesus has shown up, how God has shown up, how the Holy Spirit has moved. But unfortunately, there is no second Amy, right? There's no Book of Sophia. There's no Song of the Huertas. So I can't really pull out scripture that specifically says, here is how Jesus showed up in your past. But what we can do is look at scripture and see how we might apply it and learn about where Jesus showed up. So let's talk about what scripture can teach us about Jesus and our past. So point number one today, if you're taking notes, God knows your past and was with you in your past. He doesn't only know it as though he were watching a movie. He knows your past because he was alongside you in it. He was with you in it. He was there with you in your past. Again, what's even crazier, not even just thinking about our past since we've been born and, you know, our earliest memory in childhood. Sophia soon can take us all through those activities as she graduates grad school. But God knew us before we were born. Before we have any concept of us being, God knew us. God knew you before you were born. We read in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, God is specifically speaking this to Jeremiah, but this is true about us as well. That God formed us. He knew us before he formed us. He has appointed us for a very specific purpose. He has chosen us, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But again, I really want to hammer this home that God knows you intimately. He formed you and he created you intentionally, purposefully, deliberately. And God does not make mistakes. In the New Testament, in Ephesians 1-4, we read it again. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Now, there's two pieces to this that I find really powerful. The first is he chose us before the foundation of the world. So even before scripture picks up in Genesis 1 and we read about God creating everything, he chose us. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. And in the second part of this verse, we read that he already had a plan to save us and to redeem us. So not only did he know us, he knew our imperfections, he knew where we would fall short, and therefore had already created a perfect plan to bring us back to him. Amazing. He knew we were going to mess up. He knew we were going to be imperfect. He knew everything we were going to do. And he still chose how to bring us back to him, how to reunite us to relationship with him. We'll spend quite a bit of time in Isaiah this morning. But in Isaiah 44:2, the first part of the verse, it says, "Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you." God doesn't know us in theory. God doesn't know us as someone removed, as someone meta and just watching from above, though he is. God is with us. He knows us. He is here with us. And he will help us. He has helped us. We'll get there in a minute. So many of you know, I did not grow up in the church. I didn't grow up as a Christian. But I had some friends who were, and I did know some things about Christian culture. But in the 90s, there was a very famous poem that you could pretty much find everywhere. And unfortunately, the author is contested, but it's called Footprints in the Sand. And whenever I saw this poem, it really spoke to me. And I could never really quite pinpoint why. But I think it's because so much of what it talks about is what we're talking about today. So for those who might not be familiar with the poem, or for those who haven't maybe read it in a couple of decades, I want to go ahead and read it to you. It's not very long. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there were only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way, but I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." I don't know about you, but this poem convicts me a little bit, because I know when I have conversations with God, I am bringing in a whole lot of assumptions and expectations. I only see one set of footprints. God, clearly you weren't there. Those must be mine. So how come you left me? How come you broke your promise? How come you weren't there? How much those questions we ask of God show our biases, don't they? Show our faulty expectations. When in fact, it's actually Jesus doing the work. It's actually Jesus carrying us. In Deuteronomy 31:6, we read, "Jesus will never leave us or forsake us." God will never leave us or forsake us. And that is the truth. He will never leave us or forsake us. Meaning that, yes, he is with you now, and he was with you through it all. In Isaiah 43:2, we read, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Scripture teaches us that it's not if we go through hard times, it's when we go through hard times. And Scripture doesn't teach us that we will be protected from hard times. It teaches us that we are protected in hard times. Right. That Jesus carries us in hard times. Our worship team is working on adding a new song soon called "Another in the Fire" by Hillsong. And there are so many verses that are rooted in Isaiah 43:2, and a number of other scriptures as well. And that's one of the reasons I love the song so much, because there is so much scripture rooted in it. But one of the lines, the chorus actually, is, "There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the water holding back the sea." And what's really cool is one chorus does the past, one chorus does the present, and one chorus does the future. It's as if this song was written for this sermon series. There's also a hook later on in the song that says, "I know I will never be alone." And church, that is the truth. God was with you in the fire. God was with you in those raging waters. You were never alone. I know it feels it sometimes, but you were never alone. And the beauty too, when you were celebrating, when you were joyous, when you were praising, God was with you there too. He was celebrating right alongside you. He was cheering you on and encouraging you and lifting you up then as well. He has been with you through it all. And the boring, the mundane, the day-to-day, he's there with you. You will never be alone. You were never alone. So point number one, God knows your past, and he was with you in your past. And point number two, Jesus covers your past. All of it. All of it. Again, back in Isaiah, I told you we'd be here quite a bit today. In Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. All of us have sinned. All of us are sinning. And all of us will keep sinning. Because none of us are Jesus. We are scarred by sin. I've talked to you before about one of my favorite children's cartoons called What's in the Bible with Buck Denver. And in those, they have little cartoons and they actually represent sin as these little kind of angry bubble things that latch on to people as they're going through their day. And I love that representation of it because it latches on and then it never lets go. And that's what this verse is saying. It dyes us. It scars us. It changes us. And in that, Jesus covers every single sin. Big, small, embarrassing, mundane, conscious, unconscious, all of it. Jesus covers all of it. Isaiah 43:25 continues, I, God is saying, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I think sometimes we fall into the habit of thinking that this is for us, right? God is doing this for me. And scripture is very clear here. No, God does this for him, for his sake. And we just get to be this amazing beneficiary of his goodness and what he wants to do for his kingdom. Praise God. Because unfortunately, if God remembered any of our sins, we could never be with him. Sin separates us from God. God is too perfect to be around these little angry monsters that are latching on to us. God says he is blotting out all of our transgressions through Jesus. He will not remember. A similar message is in Jeremiah 31:34, which you can also actually find in the New Testament in Hebrews 10:17. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. God never changes. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. By his nature, he has to. So once he has forgiven, he doesn't change his mind later. He doesn't forgive and then passive-aggressively bring it up 2 weeks later. Sorry, babe. If he says he will remember no more, he will remember no more. He could remember if he wanted to. Let's be very clear. Again, in his perfection, he has a perfect memory, but he is choosing to forget. So my question, church, is if God is choosing to remember no more, why are we hanging on to elements of our past? And we'll talk more about that in a second. In 1 John 1:9, again, in the New Testament, we read this same message. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so grateful to Matt and Holly, always leading us so well, but singing Jesus paid it all today. We don't sing Jesus paid for some of it and some things to him I owe. We say Jesus paid it all. Because he did. He paid it all, once and for all. It is done. Jesus' sacrifice was not partial. When he was born into the world, this event that we celebrate on Christmas, his birth into the world, he knew exactly what he was doing. It was not an accident. It was not only partial. It was not directed only to some. It was to cover everything for everyone who was willing to accept his gift. There's another line in that song, Another in the Fire. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. Scripture teaches us the wages of our sin is death. But the reason we do not have to pay that debt is because it was already paid by Jesus. Fully and completely. For everything you have done, everything you're doing right now, because we're probably sinning somehow right now, and everything you are going to do. So God knows your past and was with you in your past. Jesus covers all of your past. And point number three, you are not your past. You are not your past. In Philippians 3, 13 through 14, we read, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are we constantly remembering what lies behind? Or are we allowing God to direct our focus to what he has in store for us ahead? When I was in my counseling program, I learned this really interesting analogy of driving a car. And when you're driving a car, if you only look in the rearview mirror, if you only look at what's behind you, you might be okay for a moment, but eventually you're going to get in an accident. Something wrong is going to happen because you don't see what's coming at you. You don't see what's happening. You don't see where you are. There is great benefit to checking in every once in a while, but if you stay there, it's dangerous. If we are constantly stuck in our past, we'll be in trouble, physically and spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You are not what you have done. There is the person and there is the behavior. They are not the same thing. You are not what you have done. You have become a new creation in Christ. He makes us new every day, every hour, every moment. I'm going to be honest. I need it like every second. Just, nope, do it again. Restart. Restart. Sorry, Holy Spirit. Restart again, please. Again, God and Jesus have known from the beginning, before time, before there was time, who you were, who you are, who you were going to be, what you were going to do. And yet, Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection allow us to become a new creation in him, separate from what we've done. Back in Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? If we dwell in our past, if we stay stuck in the rearview mirror, if we ruminate outside of God, we're going to miss what God is doing now. I know for me in my marriage, there are times when I'm so stuck in the past, I expect Darren to respond the way he has before. And I miss it when he does something new and exciting and romantic and fun and silly because I'm so stuck in the past. I miss what's happening now. And what Isaiah is teaching, what God is teaching through Isaiah, let that go so you can see what I'm doing now. If we expect the now to look like the past, we're going to miss what he's doing. Because I promise you, church, he is endlessly creative and he will show up in new ways. He will do new things. He will make all things new. And so God is telling us it's okay to let go. Are we trusting him to let go? Or are we hanging on to boulders that he doesn't want us to be carrying? So point number one, God knows your past and was with you in your past. Point number two, Jesus has covered all of your past. Point number three, you are not your past. Point number four, use your past for God's kingdom. But didn't I just quote a bunch of scriptures saying that you are supposed to forget your past? Yes, I did. And I'm completely contradicting myself, to use Pastor Nathan's word, tension, right? Be obedient. When God calls you to let go, let go. When God calls you to remember, remember. Be obedient. But check in. Are you dwelling in your past because of your flesh? Are you dwelling in your past because of the enemy? Or are you in your past because that's where God has called you to for the moment? Again, checking the rearview mirror every once in a while is not a bad thing. Staying there is when it gets dangerous. There are so many different scriptures we could talk about for this, but the one that just sang to my heart this week was Psalm 107, 1 through 3 and verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Give thanks to the Lord. Verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. That verse 8 is actually repeated 4 times in this psalm. And we know from Pastor Nathan's teaching, if it is repeated, it is important. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, not for what he did, not for what he gave to you, not because he's a genie who you get 3 wishes from. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Because of his love, because of who he is, we are protected in the joyous, in the sunshine, in the rainbows, and in the storms, and in the fires. Remember how he has redeemed you. Remember how he has saved you. I know in this church there has been so much that has happened in the 8 years since Real Church has been around. There is, we could write an anthology of books probably on all that has happened, both good and bad. Remember how he has redeemed you. And I love too, when I think about who is here in Real Church, this verse says he has gathered you from the lands, from east and west and north and south. And I think about where people in this church have come from. And it's from east and west and north and south, around this country, around this city. He has gathered us. Give thanks to the Lord. Again, another line from that song, another in the fire. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy from every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. God is with us. He loves us, and he is protecting us in it. But unfortunately, I think we have selective amnesia, don't we? We choose to forget the wrong things. We choose to remember the wrong things. Or even the details of a specific event that we remember tend to be very unique, to use a nice word. What are we choosing to remember? And what are we choosing to forget? And in our memories, are we centering ourselves? Look at how awful I was. Look at all the bad things I did. Or look at how great I was. Look at how strong I am. Look at how fantastic I am. Or are we centering God? Look at how amazing God was. Look at how God redeemed me. Look at how God loved me. Look at all he's done for me. Look at how he blessed me. How are we framing our past? So in this season of celebrating Jesus, what would it look like to praise him by testifying to all he has done in the past, testifying to all he is doing currently, testifying to all he will do in the future? And I guarantee you will be able to do that because he is unchanging. He is good today, he was good yesterday, and he will be good tomorrow. We can count on God. And I'm so excited for our family service in a few weeks because that's exactly what we get to do. So for those of you in our church family, Pastor Nathan will be emailing out a Zoom link for the last Sunday of the year for this family service for us to testify to what God has done this year, to reflect on our past and to center God and his goodness and how he has shown up. And if you aren't a part of the Real Church family, if you're a guest and you've been joining us, we would love to have you as well to share with you how God is showing up in our church. So please just email one of us and we'd be happy to send that information to you as well. So as we're wrapping up, Pastor Nathan sent me a story from a book called The Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn that I think summarizes so much of what we're talking about so well. This hanky was dyed in wine for several days this week. This is what it used to look like. And it just sat in wine for a few days, just soaking it all up, getting it into all the fibers. Yes, see how much I love you. I sacrificed wine for you. Absolutely. So the question becomes, after days of this sitting in the wine and then days of it drying, can you make this hanky go back to this? Now, some of you might be thinking of the OxyClean commercials right now. I'm sure Emily and Holly are probably thinking about what mix of essential oils they could put together to at least make it smell good, even if it isn't perfectly pure white again. But let's be honest, it is very unlikely that this will ever truly become this again. There might always be a little bit of a stain, a little bit of a tint, a little bit left in the fiber, in which case it is not what it used to be. It has been changed. And the only way to change this back to this is to change the past completely. We just read scripture saying, though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. God is saying he is taking this and he is making this, which is impossible. Sins are sins because they've already been done, right? They're in the past and the past is finished. We can't change our past. We can learn from it. We can move forward from it, but we can't change it. It's done. But the only way to alter sin is to change the past. Scripture promises that God will wipe away our sin and guilt. And that can't be done unless God changes the past. And again, changing the past is impossible in my power. According to this world, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Salvation is the undying of this rag. Salvation is this rag becoming this. God doesn't just forgive the rag and leave it dyed. He doesn't just look at the rag and just pretend, oh, if I put on specific colored glasses, it looks like you're pure white, so I'll just keep these glasses on the whole time then. He actually changes the past and therefore changes the hanky's reality. I wish I was a magician so I could like legit make it disappear, but I can't do that. But God is literally undying the rag through Jesus' perfect sacrifice and his perfect covering. So again, church, it's not that you're forgiven in spite of your past. Jesus makes it as though you never sinned. It's not as if we never sinned through his redemption. It has become that we never sinned. And a quote from this story that I just loved, in salvation, The impossible becomes the reality. The guilty become the innocent. The tainted become pure. The rejected become those who were always beloved children. And our sins, which were as scarlet, become white as snow. And this truth doesn't make us want to keep sinning because it's covered. This truth changes us. It changes our hearts. It changes our motivations. It renews us because we have become a new creation. And that inspires us to be obedient to Jesus. So what's our application today? Rest in Jesus' covering of your past. Rest that God was with you and Jesus has covered it, whatever it was. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. You will never be alone. You were never alone. You are not alone. Let go of your past and give it to Jesus. And I know this can be hard, but hold it open-handed. Hold your past open-handed. There might be some things that Jesus says, yeah, you can keep that. There might be some things that Jesus said, no, that's not for you. There might be some things that he takes for now and gives back later. If you hold it open-handed, that allows him to move how he wants. And allow the Trinity to be the main character of your past. Remember when God calls you to remember, and let go when God calls you to let go. Testify to others when God calls you to testify, and be aware of who's the center of that testimony. Center God's role in your past. Testify that Jesus has made you white as snow and that you are redeemed and reunited with God the Father. Pray with me, church. God, thank you for the truth that we have never been alone, that even though it's hard to feel sometimes, your presence is always with us. And that means that throughout our past, throughout every moment of our past, even before we came into being, you have known us and have been with us intimately and personally. Holy Spirit, again, as the song says, build our awareness to your presence. Help us to not take it for granted. Help us to remember how good you have been as we reflect on our past, and help us to set down things you want us to set down. May our past, whatever it holds, from an hour ago to decades ago, be used for your kingdom, for your glory, for your praise. This time is yours, great King. Use it as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We love you so, so much. I hope you have a fantastic week, and we cannot wait to see you next week when we move into presence in the present. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody.